But I see how it is. I see how we rank. Your guys' payment plans rank lower than your... Okay, I'll lay off. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18, one verse of scripture this morning. I really felt this as I was reading this passage of scripture. And I hope that this can be a help to somebody this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We all, beholding, I'm going to skip a few words to highlight what I believe is the most important point of this scripture. We all, that means everybody. We all behold the glory of the Lord. We all, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from His glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. God gives to His church a process, a means by which we can become more like Christ. There's another passage of scripture. We actually just heard this at the graduation ceremony. And he cited the scripture. I failed to remember the reference. I can find it for you later, but don't have it in my notes. But he mentioned that the glory of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. That's in your Bible. And so if we are going to emulate, if we're going to reflect that image, that glory that appears in the face of Christ Jesus, God has given us a process to achieve that. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning from this subject, from glory to glory. Let's lay down our Bibles and let's ask the Lord to anoint the remainder of the service. Thank Him for His touch. It's already been evident in this place. Let's talk to Him together. Jesus, we are thankful, God, for what You have already been doing in this place. Pray that You'd continue to move in the remainder of this service. Pray that You anoint my lips and my mind and my heart and my spirit. Have Your perfect will. Let Your glory shine in this place. We believe You, God. We worship You. We magnify You. Why don't you clap your hands and love Him? Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love You, Savior. I love You, Jesus. Amen. You could be seated this morning. And it's going to take me a little bit to get to where I'm going. I hope that I don't lose any of you on the way. Amen. But I want to lay some groundwork before we get to where we're going. But I want to just put this idea, this subject, this title in your mind, from glory to glory. Amen. God is a God of order. I mean, you could see that in your Bible on the very first pages, how that He set forth creation and all the things that He's done. I'm not going to get into all of this, but we know that God is a God of order. And throughout Scripture, we could see the more than 600 laws that He put into place with this purpose: to govern human nature, to restrain and to constrict us within a given set of bounds, a given set of expected outcomes. If we were to abide by those laws, if His chosen people were to live by the laws that are set by God, then they would have determined outcomes, that blessing would come, that God would help them in their lives. And so as I mentioned, in creation, the every aspect of creation really depicts the power of the order that comes from God. And you can look at the planets in our solar system. You can look at the galaxy. You can look at the universe itself, and no matter how far or how deep you look, you see more and more designed order by God that was set by God. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1 tells us, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." We see God's glory revealed in this order, that it is not happenstance. It is not circumstantial. It is not by chance or by any other means other than the determined purpose of God. God plans for His glory to be revealed. From the very beginning moments of the created universe, God began in those moments to show to this world and to everybody who had any concern or any interest in looking at the handiwork of God. God determined to show them the glory of God. His own glory. Amen. We see His orderliness when He established the Old Covenant. I mentioned that 613 laws. In the New Testament, Paul clearly instructs the Roman New Testament church that they ought to remain subject to authorities. If they don't, they are resisting the ordinance, the order of God. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers or authorities. You could refer to Bishop's lesson on authority and or series even. And he breaks down Romans chapter 13 very clearly. But in every case where you see the word powers in this chapter, you can swap it out for the word authority. And Paul, writing to the Roman, the church that is at Rome. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. He's writing to the New Testament church at Rome. You know what happened in Rome, right? They were the governors. They were the ones that owned and operated. That's where the Roman Empire was seated. They were the ones who claimed they were within proxy of that day's authority. And so Paul said, let me talk about authority. He said, let me talk about order. Every soul is subject unto the higher powers, unto the higher authorities. For there is no power, there's no authority but of God. The authorities that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the authority, the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And so if you resist this order that God has established, then you will receive what Paul said is damnation, which seems to me to be the polar opposite of the subject at hand today, the glory of God. We want to see God's glory, right? We want God to reveal His glory. I heard some this morning in your worship, amen, appealing to God to let His glory shine, to let His glory fall in this place. That is also my prayer, has been my prayer for months at this point. I want God to show the city of Olathe and the broader Kansas City metro His glory. Amen. But in order for Him to do that, we have to do our due diligence and understand, amen, and comprehend and further obey the order that God has set forth. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not just going to happen. Amen. It's not just going to happen one day. You're not going to wake up and boom, the glory of God just appears. No, it comes as a result of consistent and persistent pursuit of God's glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the New Jerusalem, we can clearly see yet more order. This is not over when the last day comes and goes, but the last day being the last day on this earth. But in the New Jerusalem, we can still see God's order reflected in Revelation 21, 10 through 14. Carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Order. This is not when Jesus comes back to take His bride home with Him. He's not going to demolish all the order. No, rather, all of the order that He has set in motion from the very beginning, from the creation, from the foundations of the world, will culminate in that New Jerusalem. It'll all make sense. I hope this is making sense. You know, that I had a strategy this morning. Keep the the air conditioning cold so you'll stay awake. If we keep it too warm, you'll start dozing off. No, I'm joking. I think because the weather was a little bit lower than we expected, so I apologize for that. Bishop came and said, it's cold in here. So find a blanket, snuggle up to your neighbor, do whatever you got to do to stay warm. I'm watching the single folks. Hopefully you're not snuggling up too closely. Okay, anyway, let's move on. While God is a God of order, for whatever reason, a law has been observed, firstly, in the natural world. It's called the law of entropy, second law of thermodynamics. For any isolated system not in a state of equilibrium, energy will naturally move to increased disorder. If there is no constant energy being placed upon a system, if there is no constant force from the outside managing or governing this order, then what is it going to do? It's going to fall into a state of disorder. There needs to be some force, some intentional purpose on the outside that intends and executes the management of order in order for things to stay in order, okay? I said order a lot. So you may be aware of that law of entry, but how many of you are aware of another law in the spiritual world that has a similar effect? Anybody? No? Okay, well here, let me tell you. Romans 7, 21 through 25. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Paul said this is a law. I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring after the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. He identifies it. To the law of sin which is in my members. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That's in your Bible. You can't convince me that you're better than Paul. God chose Paul to write scripture. He didn't choose you to write the scripture. And so if Paul is admitting that there is this law of sin in his flesh, I think we can make application. In fact, I believe that's the interpretation of the scripture that we should understand. If you haven't come to this realization yet, then you need to come to this realization that you and I are still battling the law of sin that governs our flesh. We're still subject to this law. Amen. From the very beginning, I don't want to go too far back, but we read about in the first pages of the Word of God where Adam and Eve fell, and this is where that law of sin was introduced. God had set order in the Garden of Eden. He said it, and he established guidelines and set expectations, and this is what the word sin means. It means missing the mark. Adam and Eve missed the mark. And so the law of sin entered into our members, and we entered into the fall of man. And so it wasn't very long, several hundred years perhaps. I haven't done the math, but definitely not long in your pages in your Bible reading, because it's on chapter 6 in Genesis, where we read about the devastating state that mankind entered into because of this law of sin, this sinful law that entered into mankind caused mankind itself to fall terribly from the original order that God set. Genesis 6 and 3 says, The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When you talk about perfection in paradise, in the Garden of Eden, all the way to this description of mankind, you could see how far we had fallen. How devastating the effects of this law of sin can be. That this was certainly not God's original plan and design, but because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, the laws that God had established encountered some combat within the nature of mankind. And now we all, amen, no matter what is going on in our mind, no matter how much time we spend reading the Word of God, no matter how much effort and desire we have, amen, to live for God, there's always this constant law of sin that says, I understand it, but it's harder to do than to just understand. Hallelujah. Amen. You can go to school. I'm thankful for all those of you and my wife. She told me yesterday, or not yesterday, she told me earlier this week She's like, I only did this for you, talking about the college thing. I only did this for you. And there were nights where she was pulling out her hair and I was gluing it back on her head. She was crying in some cases. She gets overwhelmed with and this is just not in her nature. She's much more a people person. She just wants to deal with people. But I asked her to go through this process, and so she did it. Willingly, and so many of you have as well, and I'm thankful to every one of you. But no matter how much effort it takes to wrap your mind around the words of this holy book, amen, let me tell you, it's even harder to live it out. Jesus called it a cross. Amen. We need to take up our cross daily. Amen. Understanding is the first step. Understanding, revelation is the first step. That's the first glimpse of glory, if you will. God gave to each of us, amen, a tremendous revelation, amen, that he is the mighty God in Christ Jesus. That the name Jesus is the same name that reveals the identity of the Father, amen, of the Ancient of Days, amen, and of the Son of Man that walked on this earth, amen, that the Holy Ghost that would be sent after Jesus' ascension also, amen, it was revealed by that name. Amen. That we should be baptized in the name of Jesus. That we should receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What glory. Amen. What amazing. And it's amazing to come to church and talk about that, Bishop, to feel the glory of God and to pursue more of that and even go into school and dedicate your time and to study the Word of God, to obey the Word of God by studying, to show ourselves approved. I admonish everyone under the sound of my voice, if you've got the time, amen, invest that time into the study of God's Word. Amen. You're going to bear fruit from that. Amen. It's not not time spent in vain. It's useful. Amen. Why? So you can see more of God's glory. But the first step to seeing the glory of God is to understand. Amen. Each of us have encountered this step. We have spent time under some mentor or in our own devotion with God. And God has so graciously revealed this aspect of his glory to us. Amen. And you may know, amen, I was young, amen, when I received the Holy Ghost. But I understood it. I desired it more than anything. Amen. Every time I went to camp, I prayed, God, give me the Holy Ghost. God would give me dreams as a child. Amen. It would put the fear of God into me. Amen. I knew. I had the understanding. I wanted the glory. Amen. But the understanding was not enough. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. At some point, I had to cross the bridge from knowledge to experience. I had to experience it for myself. Amen. I know many of you have similar stories. Amen. Where you understood it, the desire, and that understanding brought great desire for you. And you begin to pursue this. You begin to desire that you would have this experience. And God has so graciously given to us. But let me admonish those of you who have not yet experienced it. Perhaps you have understanding. Amen. Let me tell you, amen, you don't have a full understanding until it's in your bones, until it's in your belly, until it's in your heart. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus did when he walked on this earth, we beheld the glory of God. God too, in your very body, wants to show to this generation. I'm talking to you, this church. Amen. God wants to show this generation a glory they have not yet seen. You can't be satisfied with tradition. You can't be satisfied with the humdrum, amen, with the methodical process of understanding. You need to get at an altar. You need to receive this wonderful, glorious experience. Hallelujah. Man, I'm getting ahead of myself, but amen. The Bible tells us in this state where mankind have fallen so far from God's original placement of order in creation, where their thoughts were continually upon evil. Amen. They fell from that order that God established in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Amen. The Lord stepped back and reestablished order. How did he do it? He sent a flood. He sent a washing, a cleansing, a purging event that would reset and restore order. Amen. Even after this miraculous cleansing event, the new law of sin that rules within our members continued to trudge on. And in the last days, the Bible tells us that our days, the days that we're living in, are going to become much like the days of Noah. Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of man be. The focus of mankind today is solely upon their own bellies, as the Bible tells us. They're only interested in feeding themselves, both physically, in some cases it's literally just, where's the next good meal? Brothers and sisters, I love to eat. Okay, so I'm not preaching against that. But you go that's really just an example of what's going on spiritually. That they are consuming nonstop without any filter, without any limitation, without any form of governance whatsoever, entertainment. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3:18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. The thing they're pursuing is not a glory from heaven. They're pursuing some kind of glory, but it's a glory in shame. Has no lasting value, has no lasting effect. Their end is not life, but is destruction. Amen. This world, the world you and I live in, has degenerated to a degree that is almost unfathomable. If it weren't for the words that are in the Word of God, I wouldn't even try to describe to you the situation that we're in today. But the Bible has a beautiful way almost a poetic way of describing what we're living in today. Amen. But they're not, it's not language that would describe it, a type of lifestyle that we would pursue, that we would desire. Amen. But it allows us to address this situation in a setting that we should address it. That we should not grow comfortable, church, with the ways of life that we're living in. That I'm talking about that you and I are living. We go to the grocery store, you go out to check out, and the magazines that are hung up in those magazine racks are full of filth and debauchery. They're promoting lifestyles, amen, that we would not condone. Amen. Beyond that, the videos that you see on social media or on televisions, amen, contain filth and perversion that supersede our imagination. Church, we need to get to a place where the glory that we pursue is so much purer and holier than anything that this world pursues. Amen. But because of the constant, incessant nature of this world's debauchery, the filth, the god of their bellies and the glory and their shame, because that's so persistent, we can't get away from it. Amen. Every industry. I've spent 15 years working as a consultant, installing software, helping them understand how they can use it for their business. So I've had the privilege of being able to see into multiple industries. And it, Brother Josh can probably verify, it doesn't matter what industry that you're looking in. Doesn't matter what channel, what vertical, what horizontal, that's a joke. But it doesn't matter how you look at every, guess what the constant, what the common denominator is? Sin. Why? Because people are in every area. We are subject to this law of sin. And so in every single industry, we'll find grotesque, evil abominations of every kind. I'm not going to cite any names this morning, but you can imagine the popular music stars, Hollywood stars, political stars, finance industry leaders. Many of these are filled with perversion. Some areas that you wouldn't even expect it, but it's there. It's there in the finance industry. Anybody heard the name Epstein? How far do we have to fall before the church stands up and says, I've got a better glory. I've got a better demonstration of what God can do. We don't have to accept this at the true church. We don't have to accept this in Kansas City. Why? Because we have a church that preaches and teaches apostolic truth. Amen. Where the glory of God can be revealed without constraint. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes even in religious circles. Sometimes especially in religious circles. All kinds of perversion, immorality, sin. This law of sin persists into every walk of life. Amen. But God has given to us, we described a minute ago, the solution for Noah and his day was this cleansing event. And God reestablished order. Because of the spiritual law of entropy and its effect, this law of sin, its effect on mankind, God determined from the beginning that there must be a way to constantly restore mankind to the glory that He designed them to be. We're not a lost cause. Hallelujah. Romans 5 and 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, everybody say obedience. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Ha!
Hallelujah. Amen. God did not leave us out here, amen, to be subject to these laws. Amen. To have their way with us, no matter what. Amen. But he has a plan and a purpose. He's given to this church sufficient grace, amen, to supersede this law of sin that binds us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. In a greater show of God's glory, amen, than the chaotic event of a flood. And Noah and brothers and sisters, that for sure was a glorious event. Amen. It got the attention of every man, woman, and child of that day. Amen. God is going to yet again come back, amen, and fill this world. He's going to take dominion over this world. Amen. He's going to set his foot, amen, down on this world. And say, I, amen, am going to take charge yet again. Hallelujah. And we, amen, as saints of the living God, are going to go from this glory to another glory, to a greater glory. Hallelujah. I don't want to grow satisfied with just ordinary patty cake church. I don't want to grow satisfied, amen, with this limited version of apostolic, amen, experience. Let's see the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling this world. He's putting it back in order. Amen. He's putting it back in order. Amen. He's reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Amen. If God were to let this law have its full devastating effect, we would have no hope. Amen. But he stepped into this world, amen, in human flesh, said, I'm going to take on their trespasses. And in doing so, he committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Word of restoration. The word, amen, of reestablished order. Hallelujah. We need the glory of God. Amen. More than anything, church, we need the glory of God. We can't be satisfied, amen, just going to church, sitting on a pew, singing three songs, having the preacher get up and give a sermonette, and stepping into an altar, amen, and calling that church. We need the glory of God. Hallelujah. There ought to be a hunger, a zeal, a pursuit in every one of us. Seek after. He's the one that reconciled my trespasses. He's the one that purged me, that cleansed me in this glorious event. Hallelujah. You may receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what glory. You may have been baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, what glory. Maybe you received the revelation of the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, what glory. Amen. Maybe you received the revelation of the oneness. What glory. Let me ask you, is that enough? We've witnessed miracles. Read your Bible in the Gospels when Jesus performs miracles in a number of occasions. I've got them cited. I don't know if I'm going to get to them or not. Amen. But a number of occasions where the Lord Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, in his flesh, by the way, which is the scriptural example of the New Testament church, God fully expects that us as a New Testament church, amen, ought to operate the same way that Christ Jesus did while he walked on this earth. That means miracles. That means salvation. That means deliverance. That means victory. That means life. Hallelujah. How many of us can say we have a full Christ Jesus experience at the Truth Church? We can't say that yet. Amen. But it's coming. Amen. The glory of God is coming. Hallelujah. We need to not grow weary. We need to not grow satisfied until we fully see the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I mentioned, amen, each of those instances, some of those instances of Scripture, I can give you the Scripture references if you want to later on. Amen. Maybe we'll read them in just a minute, depending on how it goes. Amen. But there are Scriptures that say Jesus did this work so that the glory of God would be revealed. Man, That's his desire. He didn't save us because he really liked the way that you smelled or how you like how you barbecue your pork or how much money you have in the bank or how pretty you look in dresses, how handsome you look in ties. Newsflash, you're all ugly. Talking to the guys. Bishop's like, wow, I didn't train in that. Amen. But that's not why. No, the reason that God saved us is because he wants a people, a group, a church to reveal his glory. That means while you're on your job. It means while you're at home studying. In whatever scenario God, we ought to be pursuing the glory of God at all times. Amen. Amen. I'm going to skip through some of this. We read in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image, to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You might think, wow, Brother Hilton, I'm as carnal as a goose. I'll never be able to experience that kind of glory. Nonsense. It's not about how spiritual you are. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. So if you're pursuing the Spirit of the Lord, amen, if you're looking to that glory, we could be changed into that glory from glory to glory. We are beholding the glory of the Lord. We are changed in the same image from glory to glory. This man, Christ Jesus, was sent into the world to show us how order can come from disorder. Amen. God sent his Son, born of a woman, made of flesh, just like you and I. Subject to the same law of sin, just like you and I. Yet he overcame this law by the power of the Spirit that dwelt inside of him. And so we too, if we want to overcome the law of entropy, the law of spiritual entropy, the law of sin, then we must have the Spirit of God. If we rely on our human abilities, our human whims, our human plans, then we will continue to corrode. Say, well, I'm seeing a little progress. No, do you remember the law? The law was that we have to have some force from the outside. You can't do it yourself. When a system is left to itself, with its own energy, with its own power, it's going to decay. It's going to derode. It's going to corrode. But what we're going to, if we have some power from the outside. You guys came to church this morning. It's like, I was not planning on having a science class. Well, guess what? I'm not a science teacher. So we can't call this science class. But it's true nonetheless. We need the power of God's Spirit to give us the power over our sinful nature to achieve the glory that he wants us to achieve. Amen. Preceding this scripture, Sister Tori, please come. The scripture preceding this, our scriptural text this morning, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, Paul writes a powerful scripture. Challenge. Read the entire chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read most of it here in just a second. But so the challenge almost complete, but you need to go read the scriptures that we skip over. Verse 1. I want you to notice what Paul says. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. This is God's plan. You are God's plan. You are. You're a living, breathing
walking, talking miracle. You're a living, breathing, walking, talking epistle. All right? That was Paul. Great words, Paul. You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of men. Verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, not that we are sufficient of our, skipping down to verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth. Are you seeing a trend here? We need the Spirit. The Spirit is what's going to turn us into a walking epistle. The Spirit is what's going to change us into that image that we want to become. Verse 7, but if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? From glory to glory. Moses' experience was pretty good. Got him this far. And he said, think about it. If the glory that showed on Moses' face had to be veiled for the people of God, do you remember that story where he went up to Sinai and he received the law of God? He went back down to the congregation. The Bible says they could not look on him. Why? Because of the glory that showed from his face. He had to veil that. So Paul's using this as an illustration. He's saying, if the glory that was of this old covenant shone so brightly that we could not behold it, how much more this glory that we're going into? How much more the ministration, not of the law, but the fulfillment of the law, the ministration of the Spirit? Oh. I'm telling you, we do not know half of what God would like to do. If we can get a hold of this desire, I hope that somebody in this place, before we leave, amen, picks up the same desire that I have to pursue the ministration of the Spirit. Brother Nelson, keep on plugging into the Holy Ghost as we're leading song service. Let the Spirit of God minister. That's the kind of glory. That's where we start seeing a little bit more of God's glory. You can come into the church, and before the first song is ever sung, if you are pursuing the Spirit of God in your altar, I'm telling you, you can get your needs met. I better be careful in saying this. But you can get your needs met in your own personal consecration and devotion with God. That does not alleviate the need for a church. That does not alleviate the need for a pastor. That does not alleviate any of that. There's scripture for all that. But I just want you to understand that in your own devotion, your own walk with God, that same spiritual pursuit ought to be there. Amen. Verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Verse 9, for the ministration of condemnation, that's the ministration of the law, the ministration of condemnation be glory. If we can consider that glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Paul's not leaving this alone. He's just hammering this all the way home. Skip down to verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. I don't have time to get into all the veil things, but let me just make this statement. that while the old glory was covered by the veil, this new glory, being greater, is not restrained behind some veil. So it is exponentially greater, is what Paul is saying. And the way that we can achieve this exponentially greater or exceeding glory that he describes is by the Spirit. He says the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then we read our text, but we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into that into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to ask you to stand this morning. What miracles, what instances of glory has God shown to you? Where do you stand right now on this glory to glory train? I hope you see that every one of us have more to gain. I don't feel like, Bishop, because you installed me as pastor a couple weeks ago, that I've arrived. When I received the Holy Ghost, I did not feel that God saved me and bam, now Jared Hilton, woohoo. No, you know what? In fact, there were days after I received the Holy Ghost where I failed God. You know what I needed to do? I need to go back and reestablish that order. I had to go back and reestablish the glory that God gave to me in the first place. It's the same Spirit that filled you. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. The same Spirit that filled you the first time will do it again. The same Spirit that forgave you the first time will do it again. And if you're here this morning and you are looking over your shoulder right now over the last couple of weeks and saying, man, I blew it. I messed up. I cannot achieve. Let me just tell you right now that you, as long as you continue to pursue the Spirit of God, His glory remains. His glory is here. Amen. I feel His glory right now descending in this sanctuary. Church, I'm going to open these altars. I want to ask you to come with me. Let's pursue the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Let's pursue. Let's go after it. God, I want more. Hallelujah. Come on, child of God. If you've not been baptized in Jesus' name, amen, you ought to figure that out. You ought to pursue that glory until the Spirit leads you to be filled, amen, and to show His glory.
As we wait.